chapter 1. We'll read the first 8 verses, verses that we're all familiar with. In the 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, that is, Nebuchadnezzar, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom and cunning knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, and at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I want to take the main thought of the message from the first 2 words of verse 8, but Daniel. And that's our subject, but Daniel. All of us are witnesses of the degeneration of a nation, a society, and a culture. For most of us that are here, we no longer live in the same country that we were born into and that we were raised in. And for us in that category, we come to the painful and the sorrowful realization that our country is far, far removed from what it once was. Most of us have witnessed in our lifetime the downfall of this nation to such a degree that it's almost unrecognizable to what we once knew. Most of us here today have witnessed the degeneration into a godless society. You take every arena that you can possibly think of, and in that arena you see the unraveling of a nation, of a society, of a culture. We have, most of us have witnessed the loss of reverence, the loss of biblical reason and discernment, the loss of meaning in life, in marriage, in home, in sexuality, the loss of fulfillment and happiness. We live in a time when immorality is exalted and biblical standards are mocked, when Hollywood and pop culture and mainstream media have determined values. We have witnessed a society and culture redefine, justify, and minimize sin to the extent that the abominable is paraded around and applauded. Someone will say, well, the younger generation will say, well, the abominable has always been around. That's true, but it's never been paraded and applauded like it is today. We have witnessed generations being convinced that they must look to the God-haters and the God-despisers for confirmation and validation of what they should believe. We've witnessed God's order for marriage, the home, becoming almost extinct. And we have witnessed the normalization of adultery and fornication, the normalization of two men or two women being united together. We have witnessed these things. The result is a nation, a society, a culture spinning out of control, caught in a cycle of absolute insanity and destruction, sinking in the depths of spiritual bankruptcy, surrounded on all sides by wickedness and blasphemy and heresy and dysfunction. Again, there's always been evil in the world. We're quite aware of that. But there was a time when it was called such. That is no longer. There was right versus wrong, decent versus indecent, appropriate versus shameful. But the lines of distinction between those things have been obliterated. There was a time when there was a Christian framework by which our culture was defined. That is, overall, there was a biblical worldview. It doesn't mean that everyone was saved. It doesn't mean that everyone professed Christ. But there was a Christian framework. There was a value that was respected by society. But that is no longer our reality. Again, name the category. And you look into it, you see decline. So the question is, how are the saints of God to function? God is sovereign. God put us in this time. And He put us here to function as His people. So how are we to function in a secular nation, a secular culture, a secular society? How are we to function in a post-Christian era? And that's the situation in the book of Daniel. We can very much relate to Judah in Babylon. And we're there for the same reasons, but that's a different message. So first of all, I want to consider the text and then just make some application. Consider the situation that God's people found themselves in. In verse 1, we're told that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, conquered Judah. And God allowed it to happen. We see that as well. The record of that is found in 2 Kings chapter 24. The southern kingdom of Judah had continuously rebelled and moved further and further from God. And in verse 2, we see that God turned them over to Babylon. Now, Babylon was a country led by a man named Nebuchadnezzar. has a country. It had specific boundaries. Today we're being told you don't need boundaries. But as a country, they had boundaries, they had government, they had laws. It was made up of urban areas and cities and towns and districts, just like any other country. But what we have to understand is Babylon throughout Scripture is more than a country. Throughout Scripture, it is viewed as a fountain of many types of abominations. And it serves as a very accurate picture of the world and a godless, anti-God society and culture. Babylon was a system of paganism and secularism. In verse 2, we see that Nebuchadnezzar not only took God's people, but he took the things of God from the temple and put it in the realm of the secular. He took the spiritual and put it in the realm of the secular. So what we have here is a picture of the secular invading the spiritual and secularizing the spiritual. And that has happened right before our eyes in our own country. And this is where the book of Daniel unfolds. The spiritual overrun by the secular. Verses 3 through 5, we see that Nebuchadnezzar had a plan and a program for these Hebrews that he had taken captive. He would take the most gifted of them, those who showed some aptitude for learning, and he would re-educate these individuals. His goal was to transform them into agents of the Babylonian Empire so that he could eventually send them back to their homeland to govern as loyal subjects of Babylon. It's sad today, but many of God's people have become loyal subjects of Babylon. And sadder still is that they raise children to be loyal subjects of Babylon. And sadder still, those children will raise their children to be loyal servants of Babylon. This was his plan. To accomplish this, he set up, if you will, a 3-year scholarship program to teach them. In verse 4, they would be taught the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now, the Chaldeans were Babylonians, but they were the politicians, they were the philosophers, they were the theologians, they were the teachers of the nation. These Hebrews would be taught the ways and the philosophy and the religion of the Babylonian culture. And they would be taught the language of the most educated of their society. In other words, they would be dumbed down, just as we see today. Dumbed down through the process of an educational system. That was Nebuchadnezzar's plan. And in verse 5, they were introduced to the luxuries of the Babylonian system. Nebuchadnezzar's plan is to entice these individuals, to develop an appetite in them for the things of Babylonian culture, changing their lifestyle. Sadly, many today have more of an appetite, I'm talking of those who are saved, have more of an appetite for Babylon than they do God. So we see it was an attempt to get them to be guided and moved and motivated and stimulated by the carnal rather than the spiritual. In verse 6, we are introduced to 4 of these Hebrews. There were many more, but we are specifically told of four. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And in verse 7, their names are changed to Babylonian names. That was an attempt to get to make them forget their roots and their belief system and their God. It is an all-out effort to remake their identity. That's what was going on. So Nebuchadnezzar is thinking, we will take these that show an aptitude for learning and we want to isolate them from their spiritual roots, isolate them from the house of God, bring them into Babylonian culture, reorient them, reshape them. Nebuchadnezzar is thinking we will reprogram their thinking into who we are. Into who we are. The sooner parents realize that's what the whole educational system is about in this nation, the better off we'll be. These Hebrew captives are surrounded by and bombarded with heathen worship and images and talk and ways all around them. It was an all-out attempt to press them into the mold and mindset of Babylonian culture, to get them to fit in. Parents, why would you want your children to fit in with Babylonian culture? What's wrong with you? There's something wrong with your thinking. There's something wrong with your spirituality. If you want your children to fit in with Babylonian culture, the goal here is to get them to accept and to embrace the ways of such culture. We don't need Nebuchadnezzar today. Parents are doing that job. They're training their children to embrace and accept an anti-God culture. We don't even need the government to do it for us anymore. Parents will do it themselves. Nebuchadnezzar was attempting to assimilate them into the Babylonian system, to stamp them with the stamp of Babylon. So Nebuchadnezzar is working the process of secularization. The end goal is stated at the end of verse 5, that they might stand before the king. We're going to re-educate them. We're going to reshape them so that they will be able to stand before the king. In other words, that they will be qualified in the service of the king. So that they would be qualified in the service of Babylon. So that they could be busy in the king of Babylon's service. So that they could do his pleasure. That was the end goal. So that they could stand before the king. So that's the setting. Then we want to see what Daniel did in this setting, verse 8. But Daniel. Now, without a doubt, many other Israelites carried into captivity lost their faith, lost their identity in God, and were conformed to Babylon. Because we see at the end of the captivity, only 50,000 returned to their homeland. Why didn't the others return? Because they settled in Babylon. They were accustomed to Babylon. Babylon wasn't so bad. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Others can be included in that. For 3 years, they were indoctrinated in pagan Babylonian thinking. But in spite of the evil intentions, in spite of the intense effort of the enemy, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He determined that he would not be moved from his God. I will not be moved from my God, is Daniel's mindset. He made it his intention. He made it his goal, his ambition, his resolve, and his commitment was to please God and not the culture around him. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not be blinded, that he would not be hypnotized by an ungodly culture. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. It was his resolve not to be defined by a culture of wickedness, rebellion, and idolatry. I am not going to be defined by that culture, is Daniel's mindset. He was determined. He was committed not to allow his affections, his devotion, his loyalty to God to be turned aside. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not sell out to Babylon. That he would not sell out to Babylon. That he would not bow to the peer pressure of Babylon. That he would not go along with the program of a godless culture. He was a man with a God purpose. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. This purpose comes from a deep-seated principle, a deep-seated conviction, a deep-seated realization that God and the things of God are worthwhile. And the things of Babylon aren't. Most do not have that conviction today. Most do not have that principle. It's rare. Thank God for those who do. Daniel defined, when it says Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself, what that means is that Daniel defined what was most important to him. And it was God. We've all already defined what is most important to us. And there are some sitting here today, what is most important to you is God. We thank God. But let's be honest. There are others sitting here, and you have already defined by your life, by the choices you make, by the decisions you make, that God is not what is most important. That Babylon is what is most important. And sadly, some of you have determined that for your children as well, or your grandchildren. Daniel defined what was most important to him. He did not allow a godless culture to define what was important. You and I do not need American culture to define for us what's important. Daniel possessed a deep-seated conviction that Babylonian culture was in opposition to God. Now this message will make some angry. And if you get angry, it's because you don't believe that Babylonian culture, American culture, is in opposition to God. You don't believe that. Which means that you have already become your culture. Daniel realized that Babylonian culture had the power to strip him spiritually. So he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Some 800 miles away, Daniel's own country and homeland had been laid waste. And now he's in a land that's antagonistic to his faith. He's living in an evil place. His entire life has been uprooted and changed. And in the midst of all these extreme difficulties, Daniel was a man with a God purpose and a heart for God. And he would not allow himself to be swallowed and consumed by an unbelieving culture. And we don't have to either. And that brings us to the application to ourselves. We are in very similar circumstances. Our text really serves as a picture of our own day, our own time. Just like Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, the system out there is set up to keep God out and to redefine value systems, to redefine morality and godly order. I get so tired of hearing, well, everybody does it. It is set up to own you. The system out there, Babylon, is set up to own you. To own your children, to own your grandchildren. Again, in verse 2 of our text, the people of God, the things of God, had been invaded by the evil system of the secular. God's people and the things of God were taken and put in the presence of the secular. We're there. And today there's always people in the Lord's churches that want to bring in the secular, that want to be more identified with the world. That's what Nebuchadnezzar did. He took the people of God, put them in Babylon, put them in a secular society, took the things of God and put them in the house of his own God. And that's where we are today. The spiritual has been invaded by the secular. And sadly, many of God's people don't have a problem with it. Just as Babylon was a way of life that was opposed to God, Babylon was a rival to God. Babylon moved in the opposite direction of God. So it is with the world, which of course is secular in nature. Just as Babylon's thinking and ideas and philosophies and opinions and theories and their speculations and their values and their attitudes and their impulses and their ambitions and their pursuits and their behavior identified with those who were alienated from God. So it is with our society and culture. Babylon's viewpoint did not include God. And so it is in our culture today. We live in the very midst of the perverted narration and bombardment of that which is twisted and perverted and erroneous. And we must purpose, I will not defile myself. I will not be defiled by these things. But you can be sure of this. Just as Nebuchadnezzar had a program and an agenda to entice and to develop an appetite for Babylonian culture among the Hebrew captives. So there is today a very deliberate and well-calculated assault upon the minds of God's people to bring them in line with secularism and the process of secularization. Just as Nebuchadnezzar desired to fill the minds of the captives with Babylonian philosophy, endeavoring to reprogram their thinking into the thinking of Babylon, so it is with the world today. Just as Nebuchadnezzar sought to teach these Hebrew captives a new language, so it is today. People are learning a new language today. Words no longer mean what they used to mean. Just as Nebuchadnezzar sought to get these Hebrew captives to identify with Babylonian culture, so it is today. There's an all-out effort to get God's people to identify with a godless, humanistic culture. And again, we don't even need Nebuchadnezzar to do the work. God's people do it themselves. Just as Nebuchadnezzar sought to get the Hebrew captives to accept and embrace Babylonian ways, so it is today. There are those of God's people who don't have a real problem with sex outside of marriage, with birth outside of marriage. Well, everybody's doing it. They don't have a problem with it. Oh, they might prefer it to be the other way, but they don't really have a problem. And more won't have a problem with two men or two women united in so-called marriage. They won't have a problem with it. They've accepted and they've embraced Babylon. We need some Daniels. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. It might cost you your life, but it's worth it. Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel recognized that he belonged to God. We need a people that recognize I belong to God. And these children that God has given me, they belong to God. And these grandchildren that I have an influence over, they belong to God. Daniel realized he had a duty to God. He realized that God was his identity. And he determined, I am not going to lose my God identity to Babylon. Doesn't matter how many others followed Daniel. Each one of those individually had to determine, I am not going to be identified with Babylon. You and I don't have to stand back and see who else is going to get serious about serving God. Just do it. But Daniel purposed in his heart. He had a deep conviction of who God was. And he had a deep conviction that the ways of God was what was best. And God's ways is what's best for your family. God's ways is what's best for your marriage. God's ways is what's best for your home. He was convicted of these things. And he possessed a desire and a passion to remain pure. Oh, we need a people who are determined. I'm going to remain pure. I'm not going to be defiled by Babylon. Daniel had a fervent love for the Lord. You need that fervent love if you're going to purpose in your heart. It has to be a love that is stronger than any desires that you might have for Babylon. A love for the Lord. A love for the ways of the Lord. And in Babylon, the ways of the Lord are outdated in their minds. But that doesn't matter to you and I. Daniel was in agreement with the Lord. He had an interest in the Lord and in the ways of God. And let's just be honest. Most of those who profess to know the Lord today have more of an interest in Babylon than they do the Lord. Well, how can you make such a statement? All you have to do is open your eyes and look. They have more of an interest in Babylon than they do the Lord. Well, Brother Dan, I would have been in church, but the kids had a ball game. Just be honest. I have more interest in Babylon. That's why I wasn't there. I can see right through that, so you might as well just come out and say it. Brother Dan, I was more interested in the things of Babylon today than I was God's house. I'm almost getting to the point where I'm going to say it for you, for those who say that, because that's the truth. He had a reverence for the Lord. He had a passion. He had an excitement for the Lord. The Lord meant everything to Daniel. And therefore, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Daniel realized that the dangers and the defiling nature of a godless culture. God's people need to wake up and realize the defiling nature of our culture and our society. And he was aware of what Nebuchadnezzar was tempting to do. God's people need to wake up and see what Nebuchadnezzar is attempting to do and what he's succeeding in doing. Daniel, realizing these things, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. You see, Daniel realized that his time and place had been determined by God. So is ours. God chose to put us in this time, in this place. Someone will say, well, I wish I was born 200 years ago. Well, you weren't. You were born for this time and for this place. Why? To show forth God. Do you believe that God would have you to be born in this time and place to be identified with Babylon? No, he put us in this time and place that we might shine forth for God. Amen. In the midst of Babylon. Daniel realized that, yes, I'm in this time and this place by the determining counsel of God, and I have in this time and this place the opportunity to rise above Babylon and the opportunity to bring God glory in the midst of Babylon. That's you and I today. That's where we are. We have the opportunity to bring glory to God. So here we are, in the very midst of Babylon. And we, like Daniel, need to establish some boundaries. That's what Daniel did when he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He was establishing boundaries. I'm not going outside of this box. These are my boundaries. Everyone needs boundaries. You need boundaries in every aspect of your life.
You need boundaries. Amen. You don't just need boundaries when it comes to Babylon. You need walls. Amen. The higher, the better. It's absolutely essential. You cannot open the door. Can't do that. If you open the door, there are a lot of doors you open, you'll never get closed. There are a lot of doors at a church that we as Home Baptist Church could open that we'd never get closed. It's not worth opening them. You don't open those doors. That's true in our own lives. There are doors that have to remain shut if we're going to purpose. Well, my family won't understand. You're not here to please your family. My neighbors won't understand. You're not here to please them. You're not here to serve them. People will think I'm weird. Praise God. You're to be a peculiar people. If people think you're odd, that's a good thing. If a wicked world thinks you're odd, that means you're not like them. If they don't think you're odd, that means you are like them. God help us. We need to determine in our hearts that God is first in our lives. That God will have the preeminence over family, over friends, over job, over pleasures, over everything. God is first. Need to determine in our hearts we're not going to live our lives, that we're going to live our lives to the honor and glory of the one who gave himself for us and saved our souls. But Daniel, we need to be able to put our own names. But then our own name. Commit ourselves absolutely and positively everywhere and always to be clearly, to a clearly defined purpose for God. But Daniel, oh, that would be us today. I'll tell you what your wife needs, what your husband needs, what your children need, what your grandchildren need, what your church needs, what your neighborhood needs, is but Daniel. That's what they need. That's what they need. That's what will benefit them. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Well, my friends wouldn't understand. Well, guess what? You need new friends then. You need friends that fall into those two words, but Daniel. Those are the ones that need to be your friends. Everyone else you pray for, that God would get a hold of their lives. But your friends should be in the category of but Daniel. Your closest friends. I realize we all have friends that don't qualify, but I'm talking about our closest friends. Those we confide in. Those that we can depend on. They should fall in that category. But Daniel. That's who we ought to want to identify with. Those who identify with God. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us, verse song.